Please remain standing for the reading of the Gospel. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Jesus calms the storm. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him." They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which was across the lake from Galilee. Jesus stepped ashore. He was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long while, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you not to torture me." For Jesus commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken the chains and driven by the demon into the solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. He begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Those tending the pigs saw what had happened. They ran off and reported it in the town and countryside, and people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Would you please be seated? Now, I really love the sea. I'm very glad that we only live about an hour away, because I do like to go and just be near the sea from time to time. I find it very therapeutic. The sea is also used as quite a great metaphor in Scripture. We come up against the sea very many times in the Bible. In Job, we are told that God determines the course of the sea. In Revelation, there is a description of heaven, the New Jerusalem, and there is a sort of sea-like glass, which doesn't look like the sea as we would know it. The sea also, in Scripture, represents chaos and disorder. So when Jesus calms the storm and the sea is stilled, it is a symbol for us that God can still the chaos. The chaos and disorder in the world, the chaos and disorder in our lives. And in some versions of the Bible, it says that Jesus rebuked the storm, which is an illustration of God's divine power in the world. Now, life is so unpredictable. We don't know what might happen from day to day, even from hour to hour. Good things in life take us by surprise, and we celebrate those moments. But also we have negative and difficult times, and they creep up on us and impact us when we least expect it. There are times in our lives when we feel that we are at mercy of the storm, when we can feel like we're on the ocean and we're being buffeted from side to side. And also it means that we have these questions that seem to have no answer, and when people try to answer the questions for us, it all sounds very trite. But we do know one thing. In our experience as Christians, is that when life is tough, and when we see the suffering of others, it is right and the right thing and appropriate thing to be persistent in prayer. We need to keep calling on the Lord in our most difficult times. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'd been in that boat in our gospel story this morning, I probably would have been shouting the loudest. The Christian writer, Lavinia Byrne, says that when we pray, ladders get put up to heaven. Such a lovely image, isn't it? Lovely idea about prayer. Prayer as a ladder being put up to heaven. Now, the disciples were desperate. Their lives were in danger. Their faith was weak, but in their weakness, they called out to Jesus, and he heard and he rescued them. And so it is with us. In our struggle of faith and in the chaos of our lives, in the midst of our anxiety and our fear, we too can call on Christ, and we can know that he will hear and he will meet us in the storms of our lives. And it might not seem so at the time. We might continue to struggle. But how many of us have been through dark times in our lives and looked back over that time and realized that God was with us each step of the way? And this is the promise of God to us. The word of God to us in Isaiah 43, that's so beautiful. His promise is this: do not be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And that is the experience of Christians throughout history. It's the experience of so many of us. And like the disciples in this passage, we will be amazed and humbled at what God can do. And we also know that Jesus, when Jesus comes into the situation, he changes everything. Now, we've had these readings today. We're going right back to Genesis, and then we go right across to Revelation, sort of from one side of the Bible to the other. And I think the main message of that is, with our gospel reading, is that Jesus comes and he changes everything. And then we hear our gospel story about this man in complete desperation and the transformation that Jesus brings to this man. And we can know that he still offers that transformation today. The wonder of a life of purpose, a life of meaning, and a life of joy. And I'm not talking about plastic smiles and happy, happy. I'm talking about real joy. This whole story is recorded for us in three books on Jesus' life: Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so when this man sees Jesus, he cries out and falls at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And Jesus responds. With complete care, he just asks, "What is your name?" And then he removes the source of evil from his life. And he doesn't just remove the negative and leave a vacuum. He replaces the evil with peace and sanity. Now notice the contrast, and we don't hear much about the crowd in this particular section of the gospel reading, but if you go home and you read it further, you will read about how the crowd were absolutely terrified and wanted Jesus to get out of town. A deep wave of fear swept over them. If Jesus had the power to talk and handle demons, what could he do in their lives? And I think this is one of the saddest verses of the Bible. The last verse, 37, says, "So he got in the boat and he left." Jesus didn't then and won't today force himself where he is not wanted. But there was one who was not going to let this moment escape. The man wanted to stay close to Jesus. So great was this man's deliverance, and it tells us later on in the story, that he could think of nothing more than remaining with Jesus. But the Lord had other plans for him. Now, it might seem strange that Jesus turns down his request to stay with him. But I think that Jesus was more interested that this man go out and show those who had seen him in bondage, see him, that they see him now completely freed. What an impact he would have when he does, as Jesus says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. Our first priority is to demonstrate to those we know and perhaps don't know, relatives, friends, co-workers, how Jesus brings about transformation in our lives. Now, it's not always about walking around with a Bible under your arm, and it's not always about standing on street corners and preaching, although some people are called to do that. It is about how we reach out to those around us, a listening ear, a cup of tea, whatever we can do. The small little things, the way that we testify to those around us that Jesus is transformation for us, for our communities, and for our world. And this is more important than how impressed people are with the sermon in church. In our work as the church, as important as preaching is, it's more important than that. How moved people are by the singing, or how inspired they are by the service. What we are about is transformation. Those things are all very important, but what we are about as Christians is about transformation, and all those things need to point to the transformation that Jesus can bring. So does Christianity really make a difference? And that's a question, I guess, that many people ask in our context today, 21st century. What's the meaning of Christianity? Does it make a difference? Is there any point to it? And we can feel as Christians that we are marginalized and limited in what we can do in our churches and all the struggles we face. But the one thing to hang on to is sometime later, when Jesus returned to this area, it says that a large crowd gathered. I wonder if it was because of that man's testimony. Amen.